Hi there, my name is Oluwatimileyin and you're welcome to Stillness and Unscripted with Timmy. You're welcome to this amazing podcast and I'm glad that you're here. So we're currently running a project called Stillness and this is the second episode, so thank you so much for so many people that joined us on our first episode when we did depression and suicidal thoughts. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your reviews. I did not take it for granted. Honestly, the reviews were so humbling. They were so pure. They were so honest. Thank you so much for shining your lights the way you guys did. I did not take it for granted. I'm absolutely humbled. To be honest, I'm absolutely humbled and thank you, really. Thank you. So I want to start this episode by speaking about one thing I think is very important. You see, when you stir up a conversation about mental health, I think it's the most humbling thing that can happen to you is that you realize that you don't see the full picture of what you're talking about. And like when people come into your DM and they give you very, very important takes that you forgot, I think that's the perfect place to start from. And the first thing I want to speak about that I feel like I didn't speak about in the last episode is victim blaming, and with something we do so many times in Nigeria, is something we do a lot in this part of the world where we subtly or unconsciously blame victims for their own predicament or unfortunate events. It happens subtly, and I will try and give you examples from small all the way up. For example, let's say you ask a small child to go and get a cup from the kitchen, and on his way to bringing that cup to you, the cup breaks and then breaks on his leg. Do you know subtly, you don't go immediately to think about if the child is hurt. You immediately think about, why would you allow the cup to break? Why would you allow it fall down from your hand? Victim blaming. A lady will tell you, oh, she was harassed by this guy. She was sexually harassed by this guy. And you say, it's because of what you wore. Victim blaming. When a lady is divorced and she gets out of a terrible marriage, you start name calling the woman, victim blaming. I can keep going on and on and on and on and on. And how people in the society have made it look like people with mental health issues are actually attention seeking and they are not truly going through mental health issues. So it has gone on and on and on, and it's now so subtle, victim blaming. I want this to stop. I want it to stop. I want people to stand up against it. I want it to stop. Let that not be your first reaction to something terrible happening to somebody. It should not be your first reaction to blame the victim of the circumstance. Would they want to hurt themselves that way? Would they want to be having a mental breakdown in the middle of nowhere? You know, think about it for yourself. Think about it. Why would they want to hurt themselves that way? So I want you to stop, and it's the first thing I want to talk about before I get into today's episode. Please stop, and I mean that. All right, so thank you very much as you do so. To get into today's episode, I want to speak about trauma. And every time I talk about trauma, there's an anxiety that immediately fills my body just by talking about it or just by calling the name trauma. Growing up, I've had a couple of traumatic experiences here and there. You know, growing from medium and average to height of it. And I'll try and give examples, and I also try and give textbook definitions of some of these things. And I hope that there's somebody out there that you don't allow your scars define who you are. You don't allow your scars define who you are, because that's what happens with traumatic experiences. You don't exactly grow out of them. You don't exactly outgrow traumatic experiences. As a matter of fact, most people's outlook on life are shaped by these traumatic experiences, especially when they have not met Jesus, when they have not like opened up their heart to Jesus. Most people's traumatic experiences actually shape their outlook on life, how they look at life, how they progress, and how they navigate through life. So I learned on time that my traumatic experiences don't define me. They don't define who I am. And that helped. Before I get into it, let me give you an example of what a traumatic experience is before I give it a textbook definition and those other important things. I remember on my last day of service year, if you know how stressful NYC is, you know that your last day of service year is actually a celebration. I went to work, I was wearing kaftan, shoe, looked nice, smelled nice. I even spent money for some of my other younger copper NYC, you know, youth copper members, all those other folks. Because at the time I was living, I was like a semi-leader, please. So not something too serious, but I was leading some group of core members. And so on my last day, it was a whole party, it was a whole thing, and then I left the school. If you know how much I suffered in that school, I was so happy and I was so excited. And I remember I was on the bike. Where I stay from where I work is very far, so I climb bike every day. And I've escaped dozens of accidents. Dozens. And I don't know, I was on the bike, and in a split second, we were on the floor. We had actually had an accident. And I was just wrapping my head around it. Before I knew it, people had gathered around us. There was the crowd. People were trying to help. People were asking if I remember who I am, where I'm from. The bike man was on the floor. The other woman that was on the bike with me was on the floor. My clothes was torn. My kaftan was torn. Blood on my leg. Somebody helped me up and just told me, where am I living? And said they would take me home. So it took me home, and I changed when I got home. I paid him and I changed when I got home. And I didn't think about it. I just went to sleep and I didn't process any of that. And I woke up in the evening and I took off and I traveled to another location for a 6-hour stretch prayers. I came back the next morning and I went for an all-day outreach. Can you see what I'm doing? I was subtly trying to look for a way to suppress all of the anxiety that I now feel from that accident. I was trying to really suppress how I truly felt from what just happened. I was not trying to process it. I was trying to do so many things that would make me forget about what happened. And I think it worked, because after I went for all night, the next day I went for outreach. On Sunday I went to church. Church was great. But that was not it. That was not where the problem was. The problem was where I was supposed to climb back next time. I got on the bike and I started feeling dizzy. I got on the bike and as soon as the bike started moving, I felt like next minute the bike was going to collapse on the floor. And so, me, that if you know me before, I like when Aboki rider, they run. Like the ones that run with no regard for life, those ones are my faves. I was so scared, I was shaking. I would close my eyes and I was quoting every single scripture I know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord will protect my going out and my coming in. I was making declarations. Psalm 91, 23, 24. Everyone, I was quoting scriptures. Lord help me. I was so terrified. I felt like I was going to die. Until today, do you know that's why I actually don't like climbing bikes? Because I cannot climb bike without thinking I won't have an accident the next minute. And it affected. So, like I said, traumatic experiences, they don't disappear when they happen. If they don't heal, if you don't think about it, if you don't work on it, if you don't try and get better, you don't automatically get better like that. You have to be intentional about wanting to get better, and subsequently it happens. So I'm going to try and give you some textbook definition of what trauma is, and then I'll keep trying to give examples of traumatic experiences, and I would let you know what my friend talks about trauma, Yiti, my very good friend, what she said about traumatic experiences. Trauma refers to emotional and psychological response to distressing or life-threatening events, often exceeding an individual's capacity to cope. Let me say that again. Trauma refers to the emotional and psychological response to distressing or life-threatening events, often exceeding an individual's capacity to cope. It can be classified into two. There's the acute trauma, which is resulting of a single traumatic incident, and there's the complex trauma rising from prolonged exposure to multiple traumatic events. For example, growing up in a broken home and seeing the effect of a broken home, that's complex trauma. That's complex trauma. And I've met a couple of people that it's obvious. And then there's a simple one where it's just a one-time thing, and you know, that traumatic incident, it stays with you. It kind of stays with you. So this, it's an emotional and psychological thing, and I feel like I wanted to really expand on it so that people would know how difficult it is sometimes to get out of these things. The most popular part of traumatic, before I start to go into more examples, the most popular one is the PTSD. I remember after graduating from Bowen University, alma mater, great alma mater, amazing school. Every time I go to the gate, that anxiousness that happened anytime I was going to resume for a new session or anything like that, it was still there even after I had graduated. It was still there, and even till tomorrow, if I'm trying to get into Bowen or I'm trying to get through the gate, I still feel a type of way. Even after all the years I've graduated, I still feel a type of way. So, it's important that, like, the PTSD is a common outcome of trauma. It's characterized by intrusive memories, avoidance behavior, and negative mood. PTSDs are just bad vibes. That's just bad vibes, post-traumatic, bad vibes. They are just bad vibes. There's no other way to put it. And those thoughts, you know, rushing through your mind, and like you wanting to withdraw from people, it's not normal. It's PTSD from something, probably in your childhood or while you were growing up. And let me now share some more experience with you, with my experience with trauma. October 20, 2020, ENSAS. I am a very political person. I like political conversations. I'm quite political. I like leadership, and subsequently, I like talking politics with people. So when ENSAS happened in Nigeria, I was at the forefront of it. As a matter of fact, I did a few things in school. I think I did placard and all those things, even though I couldn't go because I was in school that period. I can't remember why I was in school, but I was still in school that period. And my dad even still called me. I was like, "Don't go anywhere. I know you. Don't go anywhere from school." I think on the day that the whole thing went haywire and they were killing people, I was on DJ Switch, I was on our IG live, and I was watching it live in real time. How after the national anthem, they started shooting. Jesus. Kali Abbas. And they started shooting, and my hands were shaking. I felt real life, real time fear. Not the way the textbook describes it. Real life fear. I was scared. How can a country that is supposed to protect its citizens kill them? How can people be protesting not to be killed and they end up being killed as a response from the government? I felt so discouraged, disappointed. I was numb. Some of my friends were having it worse. Some of my friends were just crying. They were having it worse than I was. But like, it affected. And that day, something just died in me. That's why anything Nigerian politics triggers me easily. It does. It triggers me easily. And that's an heightened level of a traumatic experience. That anytime now I'm having a conversation with somebody and, you know, we're talking about political something, you will see my passion on display. Do you understand? You will. And that's the problem. That's how deep traumatic experiences can go, especially when you don't deal with them. There are many solutions to trauma, but one, I would recommend Jesus. Two, I would recommend therapy. There are therapeutic process you can go through that will help you get better. So I recommend therapy. I know therapy can help, and Jesus and the right community of people to talk to can help. But traumatic experiences are not to be shoved away. Like, I was talking to my friend earlier today, and she was telling me about how traumatic experiences are disruptive events that have effect on the mental health of the body, and how we were trying to talk about how people get better when it comes to traumatic experiences. And I told her that I think you get better with traumatic experiences when you have new experiences that redefine life the way you want to live it. So newer experiences that change your perspective and just exposure to knowledge, I think. Yeah, exposure to knowledge helps. So I do hope that, like, in this episode you found light. I mean, I hope that, like, you realize that the way you're behaving or your outlook on certain things, they are actually not normal. They are actually as a result of some traumatic experiences in the past, and then you can find a way to fix up. Because sometimes these traumatic experiences from the past, they are the cause to why we are hurting people today. People that didn't hurt us, and we're just hurting them. That's what happens when you don't heal, you know. So I'm hoping that you find light and you heal and you actually correct the things you need to correct. Anyways, it has been Stillness on Unscripted with Timmy, and I hope that you learned a thing or two. I hope that you tell everybody you know about this, and I hope that by next week we have a larger listening audience. Thank you so much. I hope that, like, I see you next week. Thank you. God bless.